That's why you're not guilty. Otherwise, be guilty.
My, thank God for the blood. My. God did it. I know. You got caught up in yourself. You thought it was you. And your connections. I know how we go. But nah. I want to focus on Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, in the name of Jesus, we come that we might dig into thy word, that we might understand your word, that we might apply the word to our lives. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to focus on the thought or the title, Hold Up. Who's calling the shot? Hold up. Hold up. Who's calling the shot? For the Christian, salvation brings with it power through the Holy Spirit that many Christians don't use often or don't take advantage of. As a matter of fact, we spend so much time trying to fight what's coming at us, we forget what's in us. My God. Flip Wilson, back in the day, the devil made me do it. And the devil ain't make you do all that. Some stuff you thought up on your own. The devil ain't nowhere near you. Well, nowhere near. We might as well be real. Some stuff we think up on our own. We have the ability to conjure up stuff because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. But, it's sometimes you got to say, hold up, who's calling the shots? Because we have to understand that within us is the flesh and the spirit. And since I met Jesus, I wish I could separate my flesh from my spirit. If I could, I'd call the cops to come get him. Because he'd get me in trouble. He don't mean me no good. I wish I could call the cops on him, but if they take my flesh, they're going to take my spirit. If my flesh go, I don't want to go. But until Christ come back, they're connected. And that flesh will mess you up. Mess you up, man. That flesh will have you doing stuff. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Have you in places? Have you drinking stuff and snorting stuff and buying stuff and looking at stuff and putting stuff under your mattress and... Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hold up! Who's calling the shot? One of the areas where a Christian is empowered is the area of calling the shots and decision-making in their lives. That's why it is so important for the Christian to know God, to know God's word, believe God's word, receive God's word, accept God's word, check this out, self-apply God's word and walk in God's word, which is the will of God for our lives. It is through God's word that the Christian realizes that he or she is made up of two people, two natures. I'm not saying, you double. I'm not saying anybody schizo, nothing like that. You just got two natures. I ain't call you crazy, though. You know. One day you civil, one day you evil. No, I ain't say that. You got two natures. The old nature and the new nature. And the old nature is going to be around until Christ returns. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, the old nature can be somewhat, depressed and put down, amen, by the spirit person. Within, because the old nature gonna be there. It's kind of good for the old nature because it reminds you when you get all high and mighty and filled up with yourself. The old nature, wait a minute. You still got that bottle down the basement. Wait a minute. Oh. But as Christians, we need to be careful Because if you're not careful, you'll find yourself as a Christian making the wrong decision, asking yourself the question, hold up, who's calling the shots? That's right. Sometimes you have to set your two selves down, your old self and your new self, and have a discussion with both of y'all. Amen. It sounds crazy, but really, you do. Sometimes you got to set them down and say, look here now, look here. If I want to go east, why you want to go west? Somebody got to be in charge. Somebody got to be in charge of your life. Somebody. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, hold up, hold up. Who's calling these shots? That's when you can't blame it on nobody else. When James said we look in the mirror and then as soon as we leave, we forget the manner of person that we really are. So you got to be truthful. Sometimes we look in the mirror, you got to see you. You can't see mama, daddy, your sisters and brothers. You can't see all the people you blame stuff for. So you look in the mirror, you got to see you. This is what you did. This is what I did. And so now you got to talk to yourself, do I really want to do this thing? A lot of times, we the flesh will get us, and we won't realize that the flesh got us until the consequences start coming. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. I keep on messing up. These messages are for the people down the street. And I keep on messing up. Who is supposed to make decisions in your life? You might have to sit down with yourself every day more than once a day saying, wait a minute now. Who is it that's calling this job? Especially when you save, because if you save and you don't get any better at calling the shots in your life through the Holy Spirit, something wrong. You ought to go back and check your salvation. We can't keep on doing the same old thing. Talking about God knows my heart. As a matter of fact, He knows your heart. That's kind of dangerous. There comes a point in time when you get in the Word and you begin to pray, and the Spirit of God begins to fill you up, and the anointing falls upon you. We ought to do some stuff different. We can't keep on doing the same old stuff and talk about I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Who's calling the shots? Because when we get to the Scripture says, I've been set free, but I'm walking around like I'm bound up. And the only reason I'm bound up is because my flesh that told my spirit, shut up, sit down. That's what happens to us. It ain't the church's fault. Blame us if you want. Amen. That's just you. That's you. That's that flesh all up in you. It ain't your upbringing. Not now. You grown up now. Oh, I wish I had a witness. You large and in charge now. Do whatever you want to do. You might call a meeting. Say, hold up. Who's in charge? Who calling the shots? This is a struggle. It's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, a struggle that every believer has to grapple with. And unbelievers too, because we be struggling sometimes. You could go to a service and you could be an unbeliever and you want to accept Christ. That flesh will raise up for you and say, look, if you accept Jesus Christ, they're going to expect you to come here, Bible study, Sunday school. They're going to expect you to walk like you saved, act like you saved. And the flesh be talking to you. Flesh be saying, no, don't go down front now, because everybody looking at you. All the flesh be talking some stuff. Sometimes the flesh be telling you stuff. Even that person don't like you. That person ain't even looking at you. But the flesh, because what the flesh wants to do is to make sure you don't get the word. The flesh wants to make sure you don't enjoy the service of the Lord. That's what the flesh wants. The flesh wants to make you come in church, and the flesh will make you see the wrong stuff. As soon as you get it, you see something, and it just mess you up for the whole service. You sat there the whole service texting your friend about what you saw in church. Not about what you heard, not about what you felt from God, not about what you experienced, but what you saw in church. You're going to be right in church and have a conversation. Excuse me, Pastor, I got to go to the bathroom.
I gotta have a conversation with my flesh. I gotta have a meeting. I don't want to talk to a servant. But the flesh messing me up. I can't get the word. I got all this other junk on my mind. Not only what I did last night, but what I'm going to do when I get out of here. I wish he'd hurry up with that message. I know that Sunday is the Lord's day. I wish he'd hurry up. Got something I want to do for waiting for me. He didn't hear my phone go off. That's my call. They're calling me. God called us out of darkness to his marvelous light. There's no way you can handle everything in the Bible that God says about the flesh and the spirit. So we're going to focus on Romans 8. Paul says a lot about it. The thing that Paul wants Christians to know that in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that somebody ought to be in charge. Both of us ought not to be calling the shots. See, that's what happened in relationships, because if you're led by the Spirit and the one you love is led by the flesh, you got a problem. That's another problem. That's an internal struggle and an external mess. Oh, my God. Let me move on. Brother Dennis, don't make about 2 or 3 copies. Anybody want this one? They don't want this one, man. Folks don't want this one. This one. You can't share this one. This might make somebody look at you. Paul saying something. One of y'all supposed to be calling the shots here. Somebody ought to be in charge here. If you change your life, somebody ought to be calling the shots. It ought to be the Holy Spirit. It ought to be your spirit person calling the shots, because you got the power to call it. Don't think you don't have the power to call it. You got the power to call the shots, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given you the power through his son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross. And when he got up out of the grave, he said, all power is given unto me. All authority. Take authority over your flesh. Hey, I ain't gonna lie, these flesh is fun. But it gets you some messed up stuff. As we look at Romans 8, we want to look at number one, no condemnation in Christ. Number two, walking after the flesh. And number three, walking after the Spirit. Number one, no condemnation in Christ. Number two, walking after the flesh. Number three, walking after the Spirit. And this is not to say that we're going to be perfect when we control ourselves. We're going to make some mistakes, but that's what, you know, forgiveness and prayer and repentance is about. But we can't keep on doing the same old. We shouldn't, because you can do what you want. We shouldn't be doing the same old thing over and over and over and over and over again. There's some power got to raise up in us somewhere if we in fact saved in Jesus Christ, to give us the ability to tell the flesh, even though I want to do this, the Spirit of God say, I can't do this. It's work. I didn't realize that I used to work to get in trouble, but since I was born in iniquity, shaped in iniquity and born in sin, it was no problem, because that's what I used to do, get in trouble. It's easy to get in trouble. That's our nature. But when your nature has been changed through the blood of Jesus, through salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and says, wait a minute. Got to do stuff different. But folk get mad when God and the Holy Spirit start pulling on them. Why you say that? Why you do that? Why you go over there? Why you act like that in church? Why you act like that at home? Why you act like that on job? Why you act like your relationship with Christ, your Christianity, is different than your life? Like it's separate. Like on Sunday, you are all right. But Monday through Saturday, you just a crazy animal. Can't nobody control you. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Who's in control? Everybody can put it on Sunday for a couple of hours. But how about the rest of the week? Lord have mercy, Jesus. Number one, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And, you know, to condemn is to show or declare the guilt of. To convict, to pronounce,
the punishment of, to sentence. But because of Jesus, the Christian who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, cannot be condemned. The only way you and I can be condemned is if we stay in the flesh. Condemnation's in the flesh. Once we jump in the Spirit, condemnation can't touch it. Because when I jump in my Spirit, the blood of Jesus, the Trinity jumps in there to let that the enemy know you can't do nothing up in here. So there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because of Jesus, condemnation can only take place in the flesh. The believers in the Spirit cannot be condemned. No condemnation. Look at Romans 8. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation because I'm free. I don't care what the records say. Keep on reading. It says free, set free by the blood of Jesus. I'm set free. No, so you need to stop walking around thinking you condemned. Stop condemning yourself. God set you free. I know we've done some stuff and we can't even think. We don't even think God. God has already forgiven you. The problem is you haven't forgiven yourself. And sometimes we don't forgive ourselves because we're still doing the same stuff. It's hard to forgive yourself of something that God forgave you of if we keep on doing the same stuff. No, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only son Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh, but not to sin, but for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God has made a way for you and I to call the shots through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not have to give in to the flesh. We can have more victories than defeats in our own lives. It's time out to stop pointing at everybody else. But at least I ain't bad as this one. At least I ain't do this. At least I ain't do that. What did you do? God's holding us accountable for ourselves. God is not holding me accountable for what my wife does. He holds me accountable for what I do to my wife. Oh, Lord. No, we don't understand that thing. You can point at other people all you want. God's holding you accountable. Because you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord, and said, you now say, he's going to say, who called the shot? He said, you bring a reproach to me. You're not acting like you. No. No, you're not right. You're not right. You are not acting like you belong to me. My kids don't act like that, say God. No condemnation. You got to be in Christ. It's not in Christ, out of Christ, in Christ. I want to tell us, we got to stop letting our hair down. I had to let my hair down. You know, all that. I have to give a piece of my mind. Some of us ain't got but a piece left. Come on, all that stuff we be talking to give us an excuse to get back in the flesh. That's all it is. We just won't do what we used to do. So we put a label on it. They made me so mad. No, you let yourself get so mad. We got that stuff, but we just, and some of us, we just love to fight. They just say another word. And all they say was, bless you. That's it. That's it. Come on. You didn't hear what they said. All they did was say, bless you. Ah, I told you not to say nothing else. We be ready. Say the thing. You just got that off the choir singing a solo. What you doing? I'm just taking some stuff off. Remember, you saved, you gotta act like you saved, you know. They ain't getting over on you. You just gotta chill sometimes, you know. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ, who walked not after the flesh,
but after the Spirit. That's why there's no condemnation. You can talk about me all you want, but you can't condemn me. Oh, my God. You can't put no sentence on me because the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. I got the gift of God. And I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm trying to live in the Spirit. No condemnation. Don't walk around. Lift your head up. It says not guilty. No matter what you did in the past, if you gave it to the Lord, not guilty. You might have the marks, you might have some things around your house that remind you of it, but God says, not guilty. Yes, yes. And when folk come by to visit your house, say, I thought you ain't do that no more. Say, God's still working on me. They only take one bag of trash a week. I got so much junk. Jesus. We spend too much time trying to prove to other folk we're not guilty. Just walk in your not guiltiness. You got to prove to nobody else that you saved and you got the anointing. You can pray more, preach more. You ain't got to go through all that stuff. Just walk in it. I tell folks, if you're a leader in the church, if you got to wear a great big title across your neck, there's something wrong. Just walk in your title. Just walk in your calling. Just walk in your giftedness. Just walk in your anointing. And let the Spirit of God call the shots. Because when the Spirit of God called a shot, folks will look at you and say, hey, they got it going on. That flesh will mess you up. Number two, walking after the flesh. If a Christian walks after the flesh, then they are not walking after the Spirit. You can't do it. It's like a messed up dance. Did y'all catch that? That's how messed up it is. The flesh over the Spirit over here, you dance. You will never get to the door. You will be in church the rest of your life.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, undecided mess. Be a new day. The flesh equals the law. The law equals sin and death. And when you go back to the law, you study the law, you find out we couldn't keep the law no how. I'm glad. That God made it that way. But he didn't want us to be lost. So what he did was he sent Jesus Christ to fulfill the law so that the righteous of the law could be. See, when I accept Christ, God looks at me like I'm keeping the law. Because of God's grace and mercy. Sending Jesus, I'm keeping the law. I'm walking in the Spirit.
Walking after the flesh tells the Spirit that the flesh is called the shot. And sometimes it seems okay to allow the flesh to call the shots until the consequences of flesh calling begin to show up. Especially when you think you got away with something. You ever been in something like that? You thought you got away with it. And all of a sudden your phone rang. I know what you did. And I know who you are. I saw what you did. And I know who you are. Lord have mercy. Did they do Moses like that? Did they do Moses like that? I saw you. He was his fellow, brother and say, I saw what you did today, Egyptian. You going to kill me too? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Walking after the flesh amounts to saying that one is saved, but I'm doing what I want to do. It's equivalent to Jesus as my Savior, but he ain't my Lord. He can save me, but he can't tell me what to do. So you got half of the relationship. He's my Savior, but he's not my Lord. Look at Romans 8, 5 and B. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the what? Nowhere in the Word of God will you find it says those after the flesh spear. There's no flesh spear. There's no spear flesh. They don't go together like that. It's always separate. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh. No matter what we do, no matter where you are, that flesh is on parade. You could sing the most beautiful song, ain't nobody going to feel nothing. Because flesh. Oh, my God. See, the anointing breaks the yoke. the anointing breaks the bondage, and the anointing comes to the person that is walking after the Spirit. God don't send the anointing on the flesh. He sends the anointing on the Spirit. So if you want the anointing fall on me, guess what? It'll fall on you when you get up in the Spirit. It won't fall in the flesh, because if you think that's the anointing, that ain't the anointing. That's a whole lot of foolishness. Oh, my God. Move on, Pastor. You messing up. Look at Romans 8, 6. Look at part A of that. For to be carnally minded, flesh minded, is death. Because if you stay in the flesh, then you're still condemned. My God. If we stay in the flesh, then we're still under condemnation. And we can't keep going back and forth. You know, kill me. No, don't kill me. I'm dead. No, I'm alive. After a while, when you start walking with Christ, that thing ought to stop. You ought to get off the seesaw. Because when you're on the seesaw by yourself, you know what we had to do? We by ourselves. You can find my favorite juice. You had to get on one side. Then you had to go to the other side and put it back up. Pick it up. Come on. Lord have mercy. See, you can't find it. Nobody want to play that game with you. You got to play that game all by yourself. Up and down. Up and down. Oh, my God. Look at verse 8 of Romans 8. So then they that are in the flesh, what? We found in Bible study that word cannot mean impossible to please God. They that are in the flesh, it is impossible to please God. And this whole thing comes about when you read Romans, you're going to see in verse 6 and chapter 6 and 7, he's talking about that whole struggle. That's why he says, there is then now no, therefore no condemnation. He said, let me summarize this thing for you. In order to walk in the Spirit, this is what you need to do. You need to stop walking after the flesh. That's for all of us. And every now and then that flesh will raise up, because it's not totally dead until Christ comes back. And when that flesh raises up, and you give that flesh too much space, you give that flesh too much room, you give that flesh too much power, you're going to find yourself being in some places, saying some stuff, doing some stuff you thought you had gotten rid of. You thought it had left you. But the flesh played a joke on you. The flesh said, okay, I'm going to be quiet for right now. But since you ain't really bring no spirit in, don't forget what it says, when you get purged, if you don't put no God in there, the devil that left, or the spirit, that bad spirit that left, will come and get seven more and take up residence where you cleaned up. And this spirit is capital S. Oh, my God. Walking in Christ. When you walk in Christ, you got more power to tell the flesh what to do. How many of us always, you ever found somebody always got a whole lot of mouth for everybody else? You'd be like, I wish they would go tell themselves the same thing. Won't they practice what they preach? God says sometimes you need to talk to yourself. We need to talk to ourselves sometimes. Why you say that? Why you do that? Why you feel like that? How come you let this one get away with murder and this one can't even come in your presence? We need to check ourselves. We can't keep walking around thinking that we're perfect and everything's fine. No, it's a process. He's preparing me. But the more I stay in his word, the more the Spirit of God is able to direct my life, the better we get at this thing. You stay in the word of God, you apply God's word. Like, guess what? There's some stuff in the flesh before the flesh even get it out the mouth. Shut up. You might be on the bus and somebody say, you talking to me? No, I'm talking to myself. You told yourself to shut up? It's a long story. It's a long story. You don't understand. I just think people are crazy talking to themselves. God said, no, folk need to talk to themselves. I see people talking to themselves, I really don't want to do this. Take your time. Do I really have to do this? I really don't want to go, because every time I go there, I get in trouble. I don't want to go there. But that's my homie. Sometimes you got to cut loose your homie. Because your homie will bring up your flesh. What is walking after the Spirit, capital S? Walking after the Spirit is telling the flesh that my spirit person in Christ Jesus is now calling the shots. You had your time. You had your fun. You have got me in enough trouble. and enough tough situations, but now that I have a choice, I'm walking after the Spirit. My spirit is calling the shots. You got to tell yourself that sometimes. Sometimes you wake up, you don't feel like it. Sometimes Sunday morning, you don't feel like no church. Come on, amen, somebody. It's all right. It's okay to tell the truth. It's okay. But if you stay in that mirror long enough, begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you when he kept you from danger, seen and unseen. And sometimes the reason we don't want to go to church is because some of the stuff that we're dealing with, it's not your burden, it's God's burden. It's not your battle, it's God. Let that stuff go. I think some of us just like to cry to see how good our makeup is. Let's see how good this stuff is. We take on too much stuff. Give God that stuff. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I know it's testimony Sunday. You ain't got to have no bad testimony. You ain't got to stand there, the devil on my track. Say, guess what? The devil thought he was on my track till I changed lanes. Oh, my God. You better learn how to talk to yourself. I talk to myself. I don't want co-pastor talking to him. I talk to myself. I don't want her getting me, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But you got to learn how to walk out of the Spirit and be comfortable. You know, the more you do something, for some of us, if we don't read that word, if we don't get to church, it's like something missed. You ever had to miss on a Sunday? We talked about that. You miss something. It's like part of me. It's part of you. Because it's your way of life. Being a Christian is a way of life. It's not some hobby you picked up along the way. It's a way of life. And it's something about when you begin fellowshipping in God's word and fellowshipping with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that begins to speak to your situation and speak to your heart. Where everybody's looking at you thinking you crazy. God is talking to say, look here, my daughter. Look here, my son. Things are going to be all right. You already told me about the fact that you messed up. And I received that from you. But I'm going to make this thing all right. Just be still and know that I am God. Don't go to the flesh. Don't. All of us got a button that somebody push. And I pray nobody push them buttons because I don't want the cops up in here. I told the Adam Men's Ministry on Friday night, you know, we sit out there, we security. I said, we protect the folk coming in here because those sisters in there, they on fire for the Lord. You come in there with some dumb stuff, you're going to get hurt up in there. So we pretend, you don't want to do that, brother. No, brother, you don't want to go. We're here to stop you so you can live one more day. Oh, I wish I had. They be serious. They be getting it all up in here, boy. We sit right near the door. In the name of Jesus, sir. Come on a Saturday. Don't come on a Friday night, first Friday, with no foolishness up in there. You're going to mess up. I'll get delivered. That flesh coming, all that spirit bullshit. Come on. That's where the church service is. When everybody come and focus on one accord, somebody come with some dumb stuff, they're going to feel so out of. We don't have to apologize for that. We're walking in the Spirit. When you do your ministry, do it in the power of the Spirit. Otherwise, you're going to be tired and disgusted and frustrated, and you're going to want to give up. Everything for God is in the Spirit. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual warfare. Walking in that Spirit. Look at Romans 8:5, part B. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. And you ain't got to prove it to nobody. You just walk, you flow, and that's why you just flow in that thing. People know you saved. They know something different about you. You don't have to, like I say, carry that big Bible off the coffee table you used to have back in the day. You know, yeah, with the big cross and all that kind of stuff. A 5-pound cross around your neck. A big Bible on your arm and everything. You don't need all that stuff. People will know that you walk out the Spirit because they're going to see a difference. The flesh does know the Spirit. The flesh don't want the Spirit around. That's why, and the Spirit says to the flesh, look here, I'm letting you stay here. Anybody own apartments and properties and your tenant ain't right? He say, look, I'm just letting you stay here. You keep on acting up. My God. That's what you got to tell the flesh, because really your spirit owns a house now. Your spirit owns a house. And you're telling the flesh, you know, really the way this thing is set up, I can't totally evict you, but I got you a little corner room in the back. That small room that you're in, that's where you ought to stay. Don't come out. If I want you to have some water, I'll bring you some water. Don't be walking all around my house, all up in my business, all in my prayer room, all in my prayer closet. Look. Yeah, but look, some of y'all can come up here and tell me y'all, tell your spirit, tell your flesh off. We good at it. Anybody going to tell them folk off? You got to rehearse. You got a certificate to tell them folk off? Tell your flesh off. It's your flesh ahead. You're going to be getting trouble. Lord have mercy. Walking after the spirit. Tell that flesh, you got me in enough trouble. I sentence you to the court. You got power. See, death and life is in the power. Make like your flesh is one of your kids that get on your nerves. Didn't I tell? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And after a while, that child going to believe what you're saying. That if they don't go do what you told them to do, something going to happen. Sometimes we got to speak to ourselves like that. That spirit, the spirit person has the power and the ability to let the flesh know, I know you can stay around till Christ come back, but in the meantime, you're not going to take over my house. You're not going to take over my life. You're not going to take over my marriage. You're not going to take over my children. You're not going to take over my finances. You're not going to take over my worship. You're not going to take over my Bible study. You're not going to take over my time in prayer. You're not going to take over my meditation. You ain't taking over my body, because I'm healed of my... Walking after the Spirit, remind the things of the Spirit. It's a mental awareness. Look at verse 6, Romans 8, 6. It says in the last part, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that pleases God. Lord, have mercy. To be spiritually minded, it means that you're not walking around trying to figure out who you are every day. You already know who you are. You're not playing games within yourself. You already know that you belong to Him. And you walk like you belong to Him. And you talk like you belong to Him. Because the power of the Holy Spirit has told the flesh, be quiet. This person, my life has changed. And I am no longer allowing you to control my life. I don't care what my neighbors say. I don't care what my friends say. They don't have to tweet me, Facebook me. They don't have to text me nothing. I got my own text. The Spirit of God will give you the boldness to walk in Him. And to let your friends say, look, far away, fall. Because when I was messed up, you were right there helping to mess me up. You never told me to stop. I understand misery loves company. Well, that's part company. Because any person in Christ, he's a new creature. She's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Even if you're in a struggle right now, let the Spirit take over. I'm not trying to present to you that this thing is so easy, but the more you allow the Spirit of God will give you wisdom, will give you discernment, will allow you to make some decisions. Now, you may not be comfortable with that decision, but the outcome is going to be exactly what God would have it be. I found out in my life that when the Spirit of God takes over and I tell the flesh to shut up, that God has the ability to move some new stuff in my life. When I get the old stuff out the way, some new stuff can come in. I had to renew my mind. For to be carnally minded, flesh minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the flesh mind is against God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, which means those that are in the spirit can please God. Wow. until Christ returns, the believer is always going to be confronted with right and wrong, good and evil, flesh and spirit. But to walk after the Spirit, the believer's will must line up with God's will, which is the way of God. Oh, my. See, what happens if we keep on falling through the same thing? That's called a habit. A habit means that, you know, it needs to be broken. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Amen. And just coming to church doesn't give you everything you need. We need to get in that word and understand that word and apply that word and tell God, Holy Spirit, direct my life. And you will be talking different. You will be walking different. Don't be afraid of it. Sometimes we scare ourselves when God changes. Oh, did I say that? And folks in the church will mess with you. Boy, girl, you hear every time the church opens. Yes, I'm dealing with some stuff. And I'm getting some stuff on my own, but when I come to the house of God, will all the gifts that God has given my church family begin to operate and work according to what God would have? I get the presence of God. I get an understanding. When we deliver the word of God, we're not supposed to send you to Merriam-Webster. We're supposed to send you back to the word. I ain't got to try to impress you with the eschatological, soteriological. I know all that stuff, but that's flesh. Oh, hey, my God is cool. Oh, pastor, study for once. See, flesh can be impressive, too. Flesh ain't always dumb stuff. Flesh is trying to impress folk when you ain't really supposed to be trying to impress. You're supposed to be living the word of God. You're supposed to be ministering to folk. You're supposed to be praying for people. What are you praying for folk? They ain't saying nothing. You leave them. Bless you. Because you want to hear something from them, you mad. Yeah. Well, you dead. Watch that flesh. It raises up anytime. You could be in a company of people, and sometimes people will say stuff to you, and almost like it's demeaning, you know, and you'd be ready to stand up for yourself. There's a way to do that. There's a way to do that. I'll teach you. I have a course in that. Many people have said, Pastor, or when they say when I worked at stuff, they said, I didn't realize that I left your office that you told me off. So don't worry about it. It's fine. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. You're going to live. You're going to survive. It's going to work out. But sometimes you got to stop the foolishness. Stop it before you see it. But you must be consistent. We must be consistent. We must have a consistent consciousness about who's going to run our lives. Who's going to call the shot in our lives? We know we're already saved. We need to walk like we saved, act like we saved, live like we saved, breathe like we saved, talk like we saved, read the word like we saved, sing like we saved. Our relationship with Jesus Christ gives us the power and the Holy Spirit to veto and override the flesh's decision. Did you know that? You got veto power? A lot of us don't want to override ourselves. Not only do we spoil our children, we spoil ourselves. Now, you've been good this week. You've been good. What's this? March. You've been to church every Sunday since January, since New Year's. So it's just Saturday night. Just go out and, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You've been good. Yeah. Go to the mall. Open that white envelope that belongs to God. You deserve that. When you look good praising God in a new outfit, hallelujah. You in the dressing room, hallelujah. Boy, your flesh will mess you up. You know you ain't got no money for that. Your flesh will go make you buy a house and a car that you can't even afford just so your neighbors can look at you. You don't want them to come in because you ain't got nothing but beans and bread to. That flesh will mess you up. I pray when I go out, when I drive through neighborhoods and stuff, and I see a Mercedes-Benz sitting outside of a house that's all run down with a sign on it, unfit for habit.
I live here so I can have this.
That flesh will mess you up. Have you round there playing the Joneses? Have you buying stuff that you don't even need? But I was out with my girlfriend and she brought one. So what? More power to you, baby. That's how I look at stuff. More power to you. Go with it. Put this in your trunk to my husband go to work. Oh, I'm going to tell that part. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. And since you're a Christian, you don't want to lie. Your husband comes in. When you get that, oh, I doesn't remember. I hear people in the mall sometimes. My husband told me, if I buy just one more of these, but I'm getting it. Because you deserve it. I ain't going to cuss no more, but God, I ain't said one of the words in a long time. And she looked. God, please forgive me. We do that sometimes. God, please forgive me. Because she looked at me one more time. And then you go repent. You know you're wrong. We got to tell that flesh. We do that sometimes. When you steal stuff, that's the flesh. Because if God going to give you what you need, why you got to steal stuff? When you lie, that's the flesh making you lie. You ain't got to lie. Why you got to lie? There's so much tension between that flesh and that spirit. But it needs to be resolved. You got to tell your flesh sometimes, hold up. Who's calling the shots? Who's in charge? Who's in charge? I'm tired of living the way I used to live. That's why I accepted Christ. What makes you think that I accepted Jesus Christ so you could keep on controlling my life? I accepted Christ so I could get rid of you. There's just a rival going on. But you know what? Your flesh may not thank your spirit, but that's okay. For when we discipline our children, they don't understand why we do it sometimes. They may not even like it. They may not even understand why you did it. But guess what? The right one is making the decisions. The one in charge. Some of us need to get back in charge of our lives, in charge of our family, in charge of our children. Some of our children are running us. See, right now we think it's cute, but guess what happens when they get older? I heard a lady in the market talking about, he hit me back. I didn't know her. He hit you what? I remember when they had the Penn Jersey Auto Stores years ago. We're going to close out. And this guy was in there chasing his son around, you know, with the counter today. Well, cracked on him. And his son got behind him, kicked him up his butt, and started cracking up. You little bugger! He went all around trying to catch him. This little boy having fun. Kicked him good. I felt it. That's a good kick, but you watch it and you feel it. I tell you, my. Praise God for DHS. That means didn't hurt, sister. I'm so old-fashioned, biblical, spare the rod, spoil the child, use the rod, they'll be around for a while. I hope nobody gets that taste of it all the police department. They come get me next week. Hold up. Who's calling the shots? As a believer through salvation, you have the power through the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives to call the shots that bless you, that blesses others, that blesses your family, that glorifies God. And sometimes if you can't find an example, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll close out with that. Hebrews chapter 12. We need to get to put this flesh where it belongs. Under control. It's already, if it exists, but it's under control. Ain't nothing like cancer being in remission.
That means they ain't acting up no more. Put your flesh in remission. Say, look, you better stay over here. Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is. Yes. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. For those of us who say, but passing was easy for Jesus. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. All I'm trying to say today, that with you in a struggle, come boldly to the throne of grace and get some help with that thing. Don't fall into the base nature. Don't fall into the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof. Hold on. Before you get in trouble, before you start mouthing off at somebody, to ask yourself, hold on. Who's calling the shots? Before you do anything, it ain't got to be nothing big. Hold on. Who's calling the shots? I'm crazy enough that somebody asked me to do something. Hold on, I have to have a meeting. A meeting with who? Me and myself. We need to go over here and talk about this thing so I can find out what the Spirit of God wants me to do. And don't be afraid to tell folk, wait. Because sometimes God may not answer you at that point in time. Sometimes I mean, be still. God said, be still. And then when you find out later on what he wanted to do for you and what he was showing you, what he kept you from, it will blow your mind. We got to learn how to trust God, because he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus died on the cross and got up with our new life, all power in his hands, so we can live a victorious life. Many of us should not be walking around with the burdens that we have. But I tell you one thing, if flesh going to run your life, you're going to have a whole bunch of problems. But when you have that spirit in there, that flesh be like, Lord, have mercy here. Oh, Lord, here she come. Here he come. The flesh said, let me just get back in my room because I got to hear it. You ever had somebody you don't hear their mouth? Like pastor on Sundays, you don't want to hear their mouth. That kid be running and getting in the room and lock the door. I know what you're going to say. Well, let the flesh know what you're going to say. Get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah. Let them know who's running this shop. Because I know everybody that owns a house, somebody come there wrong, you're going to let them know. Suppose you had a rule, no smoking in your house. Let somebody come with a cigarette. Yes, I'm a Christian. But guess what? Ain't no smoking in my house. Now, if you want to come in here, you can come here without the cigarette. Because if you come in with the cigarette, you're going to be outside with the cigarette, but you might not be standing. You got to let folks know what's really going on. And you got to mean that thing. Don't play with it. Don't play with your kids. You deal with your children. You say what you're going to do and do what you're going to say and go with it. Don't play with the flesh. Don't be messing around with stuff. Move away from stuff. If you know you can't handle stuff, don't go near it. You married now? An old girl still look good? Don't go near her. Don't let that aphrodisiac perfume get all up in your nostrils and mess it. Old boy looking good? You married? Don't go near him. I don't mind. God don't mind you to say he look good, but he ain't yours no more. Oh, my God, I messed up. Let's stand. Somebody said, oh, he was doing good till he stepped on me. Woo, Lord. Who's in charge of your life? Who's calling the shot? Who's telling you what to do? Who tell you to stay home from church? Who told you to denounce the God of your salvation?
Who told you to go there? Who told you to go over there? The flesh. But the Bible say sin is pleasure for a season. But I'm not looking for a season. I look for the season in Christ. We open the doors of God's house.